everyone. This is the Left, Right and Center and I'm Maria Shakil. Netflix India has updated the opening disclaimer on its IC-814 Kandahar Hijack web series to include hijacker's name, the real and also the code names. This came after the Netflix top management met with Information and Broadcasting Ministry officials and asserted that the OTT giant is committed to showcasing stories with authentic representation. Sources indicated that Netflix was asked why they did not fact-check before putting out a sensitive content. It also was told why no caption or rider beamed across the series on the real names of the hijackers. The question that we ask on the show tonight, is this controversy a needless noise? Or the much-needed check to ensure responsible content? All these developments happening at a time when Kangana Ranaut's starrer, Emergency, has not been given the CBFC certificate following protests by Sikh group. On the show tonight, I ask a series of questions. First, is freedom of speech and expression being taken for granted? Are the content creators forgetting or overlooking the constitutional duty towards public order, decency and morality? Are the OTT platforms largely unregulated, not responsible under Article 19 of the Constitution? Is unrestrained, uncontrolled content under the right of free speech and expression? And can artists just say art for art's sake and celebrate content? And there are clearly limits to creativity. Or do the artists really have the freedom to offend? That and much more on the show tonight. We also have the ongoing Muda battle between the BJP and the Congress in Karnataka. The latest flashpoint comes over the suspension of former Muda commissioner who is accused of favoring the chief minister's family in land allotment. The BJP has called the suspension just an eyewash, while the Congress insists that it's routine. Is the Congress trying to make the commissioner a scapegoat perhaps? And can the chief minister come out clean from what is evidently turning out to be a big mess? That's in 30 minutes from now. But first, let me bring in my guests who are joining me on the first big discussion on the entire debate which is ongoing on creative freedom. Shehzad Khan is an actor. We also have Kasturi Shankar, actor and activist. Mayank Tiwari is a screenwriter, someone who wrote Delhi Crimes, Newton as well. Karan Taurani is senior vice president of Elara Capital and is an OTT and movies expert. We have Abhishek Malhotra, advocate and expert on IT rules, and NS Napinai, advocate of the Supreme Court. Shehzad Khan, is the creative freedom being controlled? Or do the artists also have the right to offend?
Thank you very much for having me on your show. See, this is inspired by a book written by the pilot of that plane, Mr. Sharan, and one other writer. I think Shrinjoy Chaudhary or something is there. They have written this. It's based on facts. And maybe certain cinematic liberties must have been taken place because after all, it is cinema. It is not a documentary. It's cinema. So taking cinematic liberties is no sin. And what is this whole hullabaloo about? I just don't understand. Netflix has been working on this for last 3 years on this subject, on this book. And if Mr. Anubhav Sinha, who's a very talented director, was hired and he took all good talents of our film industry and made a very, very nice web series with 6 episodes. So what is the hullabaloo? Everything, there should not be interference in everything and anything. And I don't think my Sanatan Dharam, which is the Hindu Dharam, will get objected by this Bhola and Shankar. These were codes and this was said that time by the Home Ministry that these were the names, these were the things used they were called by these names. So I just don't understand how can you curb cinematic liberties and how can, you know, anybody get offended by such things. In so many films, if from last 10, 15, 20 years, you have been seeing Hindi films, that every terrorist in a film or in a web series is mostly shown as a Muslim. Has the Muslim community ever revolted on that?
That's a valid question there, Kasturi. Many would say that, you know, disclaimer is right, but then is it getting too much of limelight unnecessarily? I mean, why this controversy around it to make it about the names when we are discussing hijackers? I mean, it's not about other characters whose name have been meddled with.
Okay. Nobody is asking to change the name of the hijacked passengers. There were 190 people, including the hijackers themselves, 179 passengers to be exact, on the flight number 814 from Kathmandu. And nobody is nitpicking on what the faith or the identity of the passengers were. But it is very, very important to have no doubts about the identity and the nationality and the ideology of the terrorists. You cannot make a movie glorifying terrorists and somewhere neglect to mention their names. I mean, this is all about the hijack. Unless the disclaimer, until the disclaimer was placed in the beginning of the series, excepting the first episode, there is really no mention of their actual names. So it's very easy for people who are 90s kids, who are born long after this harrowing incident took place, it is very easy for them to get a skewed idea of history. Nobody would be talking about this if this was a fictional story. But the entire series claims and promotes itself as very true to the historical fact. And if that is the case, then it is duty bound to present history as history, not as Bola, Shankar and Burger, which were the code names. Yes, but in reality, everybody
knew
their
name. But how is this really distortion of historical, you know, events or potentially trying to alter public perception?
It is a distortion of narrative. The series ends with them being portrayed as sensitive human beings. I mean, even that, it's difficult for me to digest, but I will let it go as creative license or the director's interpretation that inke dil mein bhi thoda bahut insaniyat tha, but you know,
Mayank Tiwari,
to not even
about this portrayal, which has almost become a national outcry right now.
See, this is what has been happening for the last several years. We are becoming addicted to outrage. As a screenwriter, as somebody who works in the film industry, I'm equally upset about this controversy. I'm equally upset about the Kangana Ranaut film not being allowed to be, you know, seen. It's wrong. Both of them are wrong. These are films. These are an artist's take on a certain historical event that has taken place in the past. History is not objective.
In that case, Mayank, do you think then the artist should say that this is a piece of fiction?
They have said it in the disclaimer. They have said it in the disclaimer. And I must say that the identity of the hijackers is very clearly shown in the first episode itself that they are Muslim. When they refer that this is Azhar Mahmood's brother.
That's the point.
It's mentioned in the first episode itself. It is mentioned. And also one more thing I would like to tell you as a screenwriter, that the kind of writing that today takes place over OTT platforms is very clever. It's very sharp, where the audience is thinking with the as the narrative goes on. Not too much exposition is required. If something has been referred to in the first episode, it is assumed that the audience is catching on. This is happening globally. I mean, what kind of a... It is absolutely wrong what is happening.
No,
we are getting outraged over all the wrong things.
Kasturi is... It's not as much about, you know, perceived disrespect to communities. This is about historical inaccuracies.
See,
so what is historically
what
being assumed as inaccurate?
I want to respond to that. Any person, any young person today in his early 20s, if he's wanting or she's wanting to research what has happened to this place, what has happened in 1999 in the incident, is not going to just rely on one source. No, there are so many documentaries about this. There are so many sources. Why do you have to? Is this the gospel truth? No. It is a perspective, yes. It is a perspective by one of India's most talented directors. Anubhav Sinha has today one of the most brilliant voices today. You know, it is very unfortunate that, and the outrage is also coming from a certain section. Today, Veer Sanghvi, a very senior journalist, a very senior editor, who was the editor of the Hindustan Times when this incident took place, has written a brilliantly nuanced piece, criticizing this show. But nowhere has he said that this is trying to do, it has certain agenda. So many reviewers have criticized this show for its artistic merits. Please do that. That's what the game is.
Okay, so artistic
merits. That's
what
we are here for.
Okay, so we are expanding the scope of this. Kasturi, I'm coming to you because there are four others on the panel who have not even said a word. So let me bring them in. Karan, I'm coming to you, you know, because OTT is... It's not for the first time that they are facing this kind of questioning or what was seen as self-censorship, because they are failing to do self-censorship. That is the reason why there is this constant public outrage, and then they are forced to do some course correction. It has happened in Patal Lok, Sacred Games 2, Tandav, Ashram, Hira Mandi, number of these series. You know, they are also driven by a Cinematograph Act. Then why is it that we are taking these liberties too far then?
See, you know, you have to understand the fact that, you know, firstly, this is fiction, you know, being presented. So, you know, as it was rightly pointed out one of the panelists, that, you know, certain things, you know, can change basis how the presenter or the script or the director wants to present it. That's the first thing. Second very clear thing is that this is nothing new. We have seen this historically as well. We've seen this, you know, with Pathaan. We've seen this with Urta Punjab, Oh My God 2, even the film side, wherein censorship has come in, there has been cuts. I know things have got resolved. So I think, you know, to put it on a both perspective or rather have a balanced perspective, obviously, you know, India is a country which has got, you know, multiple diverse, you know, cultures. You know, one should not have anything which is kind of hurting, you know, kind of having any kind of harmony or impacting, you know, the harmony negatively as far as political and religious sentiments are concerned. So it makes all the more sense to make these small alterations.
So- And Karan, eventually, then you have an opinion that it's all right, that the CBSC has not given a certificate to emergency, and it's all right for the government of India to question ICA.
Yes, because it's a diverse culture, as I said. You know, there could be some alterations here and there. We've seen that in the past as well. We've seen alterations with Padmavat. We've seen alterations with Oh My God 2. But end of the day, the content is winner. So if the film has got the power to get the audiences will get hooked on to. So these controversies won't matter much whether they are positive or negative. So I think, yes, certain alterations have to be there because India is, you know, as I said, diverse culture. OTT is uncensored. You know, OTT is not censored. So you may find certain kind of content which is very different in nature, which needs kind of alteration. And self-regulation is not the only way. And, you know, we've tried to do, you know, blanket censorship on OTT as well, but that has not come so far. So I think these kind of small alterations won't matter much in a big way.
Okay, so it won't matter much. That's your opinion, certainly. NS Napi Nai coming to you. You know, there are these films which have faced outrage, be it like My Name is Khan, Haider, Urta Punjab, but they were also seen as highlighting societal issues. So you can take liberties while highlighting the extent of the problem or scale of a problem. But how do you take liberty with historical facts?
Oh, yeah, very critically, what you mentioned now is really closes that issue, I feel. Because it is not the maker's stand that these are fiction. Their stand is that this is a real incident and that they are trying to capture the incident factually. You know, if really they wanted to take creative license on a lighter vein, Maria, I would say that giving names, generic names like Mogambo and Crime Master, Gogo may have been the creative license in play, you know, giving generic names. But here, if you are giving names which you say is part of records, and that appears to be so from some of the material that's available online, the situation today is, I mean, if I can just take it stepwise in terms of the questions that you posed at the beginning and very quickly, One, freedom of speech and expression. Certainly, yes. Whichever the topic may be, if we want to highlight certain aspects, we have the right to do that. Two, how far do you take freedom of speech and expression? If certain things are likely to hurt sentiments, and here it's not about hurting sentiments, it's about portraying facts correctly so that the correct message goes through. If certain disclaimers or qualifiers are to be added so that a wrong message does not go through, why not? You know, adding that is not going to harm anybody and it may save a lot of heartburn. Three, in terms of the current controversy, is it really overstated? Possibly, but the channel is not really going to lose anything because of that. They seem to have got more publicity with this. I haven't for once seen the serial. Maybe now I'll be inspired to watch it. But in terms of a ban or no, I would say it cannot be a ban. It can at best only be nuancing in terms of setting out the true and correct facts, putting in certain guardrails to make sure that people are not misled by what they watch. There's no harm in that.
Okay. And the other advocate on the show, what's your take, Abhishek?
So look, you know, having been part of a lot of these controversial issues that finally do land up in court, including Padmavat,
yes,
you know, more recently the Maharaj issue before the Gujarat High Court, etc. I feel particularly strongly about upholding the freedom of speech and expression, right? And you mentioned right up front, and that's what I'm drawing the attention to. The only exception in this case, of course, is public order. Very interestingly, it's not public interest, it's public order.
Yes.
Do we really see an impact on public order to the extent that we are looking at a potential of riots? Are we looking at a potential of, you know, disharmony in the society? I think clearly not. This certainly doesn't rise to that level. And then coming back to the other thing that you mentioned, is this distortion of the facts? Again, I disagree. There is absolutely no distortion, specifically because there is some basis to say that these are code names that were in use at that point in time. So I certainly think that specifically in today's times and society, sometimes we are going really overboard in trying to be, too pedantic, too iffy about any and everything that goes out as content. And specifically given the fact that there is a set of regulations in the form of the IT rules, which, as you rightly said, prescribes self-regulation, there is a conscious decision taken by legislature and the executive that this platform and these kinds of platforms need to be given the flexibility to regulate themselves. And there are guidelines issued that are part of the IT rules, which they need to follow. And I don't see any transgression of any of those guidelines in this particular scenario. So I certainly think that there is too much noise being created about something which really didn't require that kind of an issue.
Okay, so then in that case, if we are looking at perhaps a reaction which may be driven by politics of an individual. So here the politics of the writer, the director, seems to be drawing the reaction. It is similar to what we have seen play out in case of Kangana Ranaut. Will it be fair assessment to make, Karan? Not as much as content, it's about the director.
Yes, as I said, these controversial things have happened in the past. And some things, stand to get corrected. Some of them may not be represented correctly because of certain creative measures. But one has to really look for a middle ground over here. One of the panelists again mentioned that, a ban is not a correct way to look at it. And, a middle ground is reached and then, things are kind of altered. So there's always a solution over here, which can be implemented. And I don't even see that you will see impact in terms of footfalls for this film. If this film was to release, maybe delayed by 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we're not going to see any kind of negative impact in terms of footfalls. So I think a middle ground is the best way to go about it.
So what really is the middle ground then?
middle ground is, you know, to maybe alter the scenes to try and see, you know, what are the exactly the objections that, you know, the center, the CBFC is kind of raising to kind of, you know, alter some scenes. We've seen in the past, Padmavat has gone through, you know, multiple cuts. We've seen Urta Punjab going through multiple cuts.
No, but that was because of the CBFC certificate. Here, there is no certification.
Yes, it's that is obviously the OTD part, but I'm talking about the Kangana Ranaut movie, which is there. So there are some issues in terms of some things not being represented in a correct manner. So some alterations could be done to the movie. We've seen that in the case of, you know, many regional mythological films, which may be sensitive in nature. You know, we saw a film which was based on the Hanuman, you know, which was this film of the actor Prabhas. There were some changes on that as well. So some kind of factual misrepresentation, some kind of thing, you know, which will not, you know, kind of hamper social harmony because the subject is very sensitive in nature. Some kind of changes and alterations need to happen.
And but Shehzad, you know, many would say that that's also succumbing to public pressure. Or are you reflecting the larger mood? So you are essentially, as an artist, you are accommodating multiple viewpoints, which is only going to work in your favor.
See, as far as Kangana Ranaut's film is, I would just like to say one thing, that we have for many years, we all have been seeing that the venom she's, you know, all the time there's venom from her mouth, which is coming out. So obviously, a film which she has made must be very venomous. So, and that's why there's the censor board, which is seeing to it that all the venom which she's trying to pour in should be stopped, or those scenes should be cut or reshoot or whatever. And it's a mission. It's, you know, like previously we have seen Kashmir Files and that Kerala stories, and also she's going on that track. Maybe she's trying to make something more worse than that. She can go to that extent. So it's first time, you know, I'm really glad that the censor has really acted and shown, though she being an MP and her party being in power, but the censorship is doing its job. Man, see, you cannot compare two things. IC-814 is a different thing altogether. It's a web series and it is totally controlled by Netflix.
No, but Shehzad, the argument can be that if it is about offense, a certain section getting offended, they can be offended with any kind of content. So you are offended with Kangana Ranaut's content. There are others who are offended with IC-814's, you know, what is being seen as distortion.
See, there's a difference between a web series and a film.
Yes, that's right. That brings me to my question here now. That can OTT platforms continue or be permitted to broadcast what is seen as uncontrolled or unrestrained content? Kasturi, beginning with you.
Yes. You know, I was watching Mr. Shehzad Khan do a complete flip-flop when it came to the emergency and the sentiments of Sikhs, which seems to be the controversy now, as opposed to Flight 814, which he says, you know, we will excuse that because the sentiments of OTT watchers doesn't matter. I feel like this entire panel, including the esteemed lawyers as well, they have talked about many things, but they don't. I feel like this panel, except for Mr. Taurani, is a little distant from actual realities of audience perception. This is not about what is legal. This is not what is about who is going to research. So people who watch OTT content are actually, I feel OTT is more dangerous and more popular than the big screen because you have to actually spend money, take some effort to go to a theater and watch a movie. But with the OTT, it's in your hands. It's literally in your hands. And the other bigger danger is, in a series like 814, you'll end up watching 5 minutes out of episode 3, 10 minutes out of episode 5, speed watch the other two episodes, and get a completely different idea of what the series is about, because you didn't watch the first episode. So these guys, this is why a disclaimer is needed at the beginning of every episode. Because sometimes it's all lost in translation. And no, these are not, you know, erudite scholars who are going to go and after watching a series, going to go and research the actual history and the actual names of the terrorists. No, most people are quite gullible. They will end up watching it and think, hey, these guys are not bad people. They're terrorists, really? What did they do? They let everybody go. They're not such bad people. I think while I do respect Sri Anubhav Sinha and I'm a great fan of his work, and this is my criticism is not about his creative license. My criticism is about a distortion, a distorted narrative that seems to be the subtext of such products. There was a movie, I would like to get the example of Vishwarupam. This was a movie, again, by an extremely respected creator, Mr. Kamal Haasan. And it was banned in Tamil Nadu. Till date, it never got a release in Tamil Nadu because Tamil Nadu Muslims took offense to the fact that Mr. Kamal Haasan was portraying a Tamil Muslim and they didn't think he was portraying them in a good light. They did not know what was happening in the movie. They just said, we will not let him play a Tamil Muslim and be on screen. End of story. It never got released in Tamil Nadu. It was released in other parts of India. Anybody do research? Did anybody watch the movie? No. So perception cannot be offensive to just one section of society.
Absolutely.
And then the majority should be all very nice and tolerant. No, sir. I think accuracy in this case is very important. And I think it is a matter of maybe not national security, but national respect.
Mayank?
You don't go around pandering off. You don't go around.
It is very hard to. These are all emotional arguments.
Go down the chunker and not.
Yes, that's
the
why. That's why it's public sentiment.
These are all.
And public sentiment is about emotions.
No, but you know,
and that is the reason why.
Article 19
of the Constitution, which talks about freedom of speech and expression, also talks about responsibility, duties.
See, responsibility, all of these things I agree with. I am only saying here is the show. It is saying that it is based on a certain book. That book has been written by the pilot who was in that plane. That show is based on that book. Okay, I have written a movie called The Accidental Prime Minister, which was based on a book.
Yes, go ahead. Let him speak.
Now, let me finish. See, what do we aspire to as a democracy? We aspire to maturity. Okay, we cannot pander to any kind of self-interest groups. A person on the panel said that the emergency movie should not be released because it will be like Kashmir Files and IC-18814 is okay because it has got a mature voice. No, we should not think like that. We have to think like a mature democracy. Allow everything to come and give people the chance to respond. There was a movie which was a biopic of Mr. Narendra Modi. It did not do well at the box office. It did not do well at all.
Point. So in terms films, of creativity,
films, content, yes, he made that point very well. And ultimately, you can give examples. Like Madam gave a very good example of Tamil Nadu. Sure. But two wrongs don't make a right. Where are we going as a country? This is 2024. Look at anywhere in the world. Does this happen anywhere in the world? Does this happen in any kind of democracy that today we engage with in the world? That is the question here.
Yes,
we are all mature.
It's about celebrated democracies. I mean, we are one of the oldest democracies. We talk about
it. So what do we aspire to?
With great pride. Then, Napi Nai,
shouldn't
it also mean
today,
that there should be no censorship at all in the sense the way vested groups on both the sides are trying to decide the content?
That is true. Today, four people can come on the road and say, my sentiments have been heard. Okay, man.
Just
so
as
what?
It, huh? Since
so
times
what?
In
your
memorial.
Sentiments have been heard. Too bad. Too bad. And as far as social harmony, as far as peace is concerned, it is the responsibility of the state. It is the responsibility of the state to ensure law and order. Law and order cannot be held hostage.
And since we have seen this censorship for the longest time here in India, Napi Nai, and from the times of the Maharajas to the British to independent India, and after 78 years now, we shouldn't be certainly talking about it, the manner in which it is playing out.
True. And that's why I was just mentioning before I was interrupted that if you assume that OTT is going to continue in its unfettered avatar without any kind of law or regulation coming in, that's not likely to happen. because you all know that the broadcasting bill is on the anvil. It may have been recalled, but it is going to come out at some point of time. And the self-regulatory mechanism which you have now under the intermediary guidelines is likely to go through certain changes. And those changes will include a licensing and an oversight mechanism under the broadcasting bill. To what extent can that oversight mechanism work is the issue today. And to that extent, when we talk about censorship, we have to understand that censorship also cannot be unfettered. It cannot be over the top. It cannot be excessive. Article 19.2 clearly says that the restrictions have to be reasonable restrictions, and reasonable restrictions are not open-ended. It is limited to those restrictions which are set out specifically in Article 19.2. So only within those heads that fall under that provision can be the basis in terms of laying down reasonable restrictions. So we have to understand that when we are looking at it from a legal perspective, we will have to evaluate any kind of content, be it visual or text-based content, in the context of, one, our right to say what we believe is should be said, with what is the restriction that can be placed on that right, and to what extent is that restriction being placed in an effective manner and to a limited manner. Okay. That which can be done without that restriction, that would be the option that law also should be taking and would effectively take. And that where a restriction is essential is the only situation where you're likely to see some level of stringent regulatory mechanisms. We'll have to wait and see what the broadcasting bill's final contours will be. But to assume that OTT will not be covered under that would be a myopic vision.
Okay. Abhishek, my last question to you. You know, there's no denying that today OTTs have great power. You know, in the times that we are living in, and their growing continued outreach. You know, from a 4-year-old to a 40 and a 60-year-old, everybody seems to be on watching or binging anything or the everything on OTT. Don't you think that is also about great responsibility then?
Yes.
Given the kind of power that they have on us and our minds, it's also about great responsibility.
No. I completely agree. See, any institution that is distributing or carrying content, it is carrying a message to the general public, certainly needs to exercise a certain level of responsibility. Now, but who defines that responsibility? And here I come back to what one of my fellow panelists had earlier said. When we shape our laws, when we shape our constitution, we set out the parameters and the road for how we want our country to progress. When Article 19.1A was put into the constitution, the thought was that there is a default right given, and it's a fundamental right, there's a default right given to every citizen of India to exercise their freedom of speech and expression. There are limitations to that. As Napinai said, there are reasonable restrictions that can be placed on that, on very limited 8 identified heads of making of laws. But ultimately, because we are living in a time where the interpretation of what is the collective consciousness of the population has to be, you know, dynamic. It can't be rooted in the 1950s when the Cinematograph Act was enacted. It can't be rooted in the the colonial era where a lot of our laws originate from. It has to be in today's collective consciousness. And it also must be a reflection of where we see this country going. Do we see our democracy continuing to mature and therefore to include various thoughts of disparate elements of everyone to come into one crucible and be able to communicate? And really speaking, when we say that there are possible threats that we are talking about to the institutions or to democracy or otherwise, are we really that brittle? I don't think so. We're the biggest democracy in the world. We have some great ideals. We have some great stories to tell. And we have great storytellers to tell those stories.
Yes.
So I don't... And you know, when it comes to facts, as was rightly said, today the people who are on OTT can clearly you know, before the series comes out, they go and do their research to find out what's happening. And in the context of a story, I don't see change of names really creating that kind of an impact.
Absolutely,
and I
Abhishek.
Also perhaps disagree with the aspect that there should be a distinction between what goes on OTT and what goes in the cinemas in terms of the issue that had arisen in case of Kangana Ranaut and an emergency. Similar issues, same application of 19-1A. And I really think that we need to look at this more holistically than nitpick at these specific, you know, issues.
All right, Abhishek Malhotra, thank you so much for your time. Thank you to Shehzad Khan, Kasturi Shankar, Mayank Tiwari, Karan, and Anas Napinai.